Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 2, we were comparing the covering ourselves with God's word to cover our sins with a woman putting on makeup to hide blemishes. Let's continue with that subject today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Verse 27 says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, again, remember, cosmetics cover the blemish. Well, when we cover ourselves with the cosmetic of God's word, and we fill it in evenly and rightly, you know, as they have ladies that go to get their makeup put on someplace, I'm told. But nonetheless, the idea is they're adorning themselves for a purpose. As the bride of Christ, we're adorning ourselves for the one who is the head, the husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you also see, husbands, you're to be doing this in your family. There's, it says there in Ephesians chapter 5, with your wife, but as Christ loved the church, that's, he gave his life for us. But let me add to that now, Revelation chapter, and I'm not adding to God's word, another passage from God. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. How does the bride of Christ make herself ready? The obedient life. No, it's Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe it's verse 25. It shall be your righteousness to follow the commandments of the Lord. Okay, it's right. Here's commands for us, and it's your righteousness, and this is the way you're going to be dressed in his righteousness. And so you live a life of obedience. That's why the Great Commission says there, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, getting them saved. Then next, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then next, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. When a person gets saved, it's great. They should get baptized the first thing. And then after the first thing of baptism, the next thing is it. You begin to take these people in the church and under your wing and begin to disciple them, teaching them what a Christian should do and not do. One of the things that we should teach a Christian to do is to have a work ethic, not to be a griper, not to be a grumbler, not to be a talebearer, and things of that nature. And so we see this here. So we see here again in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Why are some people going to be ashamed at the appearing of Christ? You know, some will have confidence, some will be ashamed, because they didn't live that life of obedience. They didn't witness. They didn't have that work ethic. They weren't faithful to God's house. So many things in God's word they didn't do. And they're going to be ashamed at his appearing because they won't have the cosmetics of righteousness to put on. So we read there in verse 8 then of Revelation chapter 19. Here it's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You see why I said the righteousness, and righteousness is obedience, and Deuteronomy 6:25 even identifying what righteousness is? Obeying God, that's what righteousness is. You witness, you're not obeying God. You're lacking something. You're going to lose something. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, that we're going to count the loss, that some works are going to be burned as like wood, hay, and stubble, saved so as by fire. And therefore, you're ashamed at his coming and the loss of reward. You know, some people sometimes think, boy, that's not nice. Remember the parable there, the talents, where he gave one to each guy and he left. When he come back, he took account, one had gained five cities. All right, you got 10. You know, one had gained 10 cities, so he got more. You know, and he kept giving more. He got the one with 10 cities. No, the one got two, and then he got five, I think, or something like that. There's one of those guys that just had one and did nothing with it. And so when he came and judged him, he says, okay, take from him that hath the one and give to him that hath the 10. Now, he didn't put the guy that he just had the one, didn't do anything with it. He didn't throw him into hell. He didn't lock him up. He didn't kill him. He didn't do anything like that. He just took what he could have had, what he'd already planned to give, and he gave it to another. And just think, the one that had a 10 got even more added to him because he stayed faithful throughout life, and that could have been a her too, because we all that are saved make up the bride of Christ. So we need to learn that since the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, we need to learn the purpose for our creation, so to speak, our salvation. Now, we like to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and say, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I think that's good. I think it's real good. But you know what? We stop there. We don't see that verse 10 is connected to verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You didn't earn it. You didn't earn salvation. Nobody does. Then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. In other words, God already had a plan for your life. He had things for you to do. You can get to heaven. I think that sometimes, when I think about the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be people up there that knew they were called to be a missionary and didn't follow it. Called to be a pastor, didn't do it. Called to be a school teacher. Called to be something, maybe a secular job, but to be there. Why? You say, why a secular job? Because we're to be lights in the world, wherever we are. You work in the business world, it needs a light. You work in a hospital, it needs a light. You work anywhere, it needs a light. And that's what we're all to be. It's a light in this world. And so, we are to adorn ourselves in his righteousness. And so, we see there that it is the righteousness of the saints. Clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. Now, understand, we are accepted in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're accepted in his righteousness, Ephesians 1:7. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Doesn't mean you become so good, so obedient. No. Talking about the righteousness of Christ, that's what brings us into heaven, because we received him as our Lord and Savior. But it is the righteousness of saints because we're clothed with his righteousness. But the adorning, the other things that must be added with that. You know, like the lady, she's got a dress, but boy, she wants the matching purse, the matching earrings, the matching rings, the matching necklace, and on you could go. And just think of those things of obedience as being those adorning. So we adorn ourselves in our spirit and our conduct, our spirit, by being obedient, not having that angry, vengeful spirit, walking with the Lord. You know, verses 9 and 10 of our text is showing us that it is the one who has these ethics. They are not the ones who are finding fault with the boss, the company, or running down fellow believers or just other workers at the job. See, the bride of Christ is plain without the makeup. The makeup of God's word, the makeup of his adornings that he gives for us. You know, a young man goes out and asks a girl, will she marry him? And she says, yeah, will they talk about it? You know, guys usually talk about it, make sure she's going to say yes before they ever buy the ring. But then they go out and buy a nice expensive ring. Buy that engagement ring. Then go through the same thing they've been talking about. Says, will you marry me? Yes. And he places it on her finger. Oh, what a wonderful thing, you know, but nonetheless, he puts that on her finger and they're engaged. Now, she is proud of that ring. And that commitment says, okay, I wanted to marry her. Regardless, I wanted to marry her, whether there's rings involved or not. When I first started doing weddings, there was the question of, is this a single or double ring wedding? What do you mean a double ring wedding? People say today, well, is both the man and the woman giving a ring to each other? Or is it just the man giving it to the woman? Because I remember years ago, it was just the man. Because a lot of times women didn't have the jobs, couldn't afford it. And they were saving up for getting married. Not the ring. They were saving up for the marriage, the pay for marriage, to help them get started in life. So, again, that bride of Christ, though, is just plain without the makeup. Can you imagine a very wealthy man? I mean, he's a multi-wealthy, okay? He falls in love with this plain, common-looking girl from the lower ends of the economic ladder. But he falls in love with her, and he loves her, and he wants to get married. Because of his well-to-do-ness, you might say, he has to go away for a while. But he will come back on the day of the wedding. The day appointed, he's going to come. He's going to come back.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible